Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Charlie, do you remember in 2020 when Black Lives Matter were ascendant and they were burning everything down? I remember sitting there in the midst of it all thinking, this is quite possibly the worst thing I've ever seen in politics ever.
It was around that time, actually, that I started getting really angry about politics because I was
furious, yeah.
And it was just like, for one thing, you know, everybody around me was kind of just like, oh yeah, that's happening. And I was just like, do you not understand? Like, do you not have eyes? Like, do you not see what's going on here? Does this not make you furious that this is not just happening, but being allowed to happen as well?
Well, it seems like it's pretty much died a death now. And yeah, we're going to be looking at that today. So I suppose it's actually some good news from Lotus Eaters. Yeah, pinch yourself. It's not April Fool's Day.
Although the election is coming up. So, hey, maybe
that,
they'll return.
That is true. Hopefully not. But what I want to talk about is one of the Black Lives Matter organizers stole some money. I mean,
there's a surprise.
Who'd have thought? I mean, it's not like there's a track record of them using the money they raised for their own gain, which I actually support because it meant that it was taken out of this sort of weird sort of reparations pool that people assumed it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think people should be rewarded for grifting, at least not to a societal wide extent like that. But the fact that they took the money out of the pot and bought mansions with it, not this lady we're talking about, but the ones in America, is kind of good. I'm glad they did.
Well, I'm reliably told that it's actually a form of Marxist praxis to take that money and buy mansions with it.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading Marx and saying, you need to buy mansions.
Yeah, for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's liberation.
Mm-hmm. To defeat the bourgeois, you need to become bourgeois.
Yeah.
But this story is based in Britain, and it's titled Black Lives Matter Organiser Behind the Protest Which Toppled Edward Colston Statue in Bristol Admits Fraud After £30,000 Raised from Donors Goes Missing. And this I find hilarious because I thought there would be no consequences for all the terrible things they did. And here we are. I mean, only 3 years late, but nonetheless, she's finally in court.
And it's quite satisfying to see this sort of stuff happening because these people do need to face some justice. I mean, again, most of them won't. But, you know, to see the figureheads getting it.
No justice, no peace, one might say.
Indeed, yes.
But I'm going to read a little bit from the article because it gives you some interesting details. It says, one of the organisers of the Black Lives Matter protest, which saw slave trader, among other things, which the Daily Mail doesn't mention, Edward Colston, statue toppled, has admitted fraud after £30,000 was raised from donors, went missing. I think her name is Zara Salim, 23, pleaded guilty. That's not her. She changed her name mysteriously recently. Who'd have thought? I mean, it's almost like she's going to change her name back once all this blows over.
So is that her real name or is that her new name?
That's her new name.
What is it with these types and the letter X?
I don't know.
Like Ibram X. Kendi. You know, everyone just wants to be Malcolm X in this.
The letter X, that's the black letter.
Yeah.
So it carries on to say, she's pleaded guilty to one count of fraud by abuse of position following an investigation by Avon and Somerset Police into a GoFundMe page called Brist BLM, set up ahead of the protest in Bristol in June 2020. The only thing is, she's not from Bristol either. So
is that right?
She's not even involved in any way, but saw some opportunity to make money and took it, which if only some of her compatriots did the same, perhaps not quite in this way, there wouldn't be the riots in the first place. Wow. But Salim said she had set up the crowdfunding page to raise money for face masks and other equipment to help facilitate the march legally, given it was taking place in the COVID-19 pandemic. An agreement is said to have been made that any excess funds would go to the charity Changing Your Minds Limited, which was a youth group based in St. Paul's area of Bristol, so young people could go on a trip to Africa. I mean, Black Lives Matter, sending people back to Africa.
I mean, on that bit before as well, saying that she could raise money to get face masks and other equipment, they wouldn't have stopped the protest if they didn't have face masks.
No,
like BLM was the state-sanctioned, regime-approved protest to do during COVID, you know. But the same couldn't be said of the anti-lockdowns, but anyway, different issue.
I mean, you can kind of admire the grift, although she didn't get away with it, so, you know, terrible at it. So it goes on to say, following the protest, which gained worldwide attention, the page raised tens of thousands of pounds. However, none of the money has allegedly arrived to the charity. Salim, who changed her name from Yvonne Mayner, is accused of using money raised for herself. Never happens.
Never has happened.
She initially entered not guilty pleas to two charges of fraud. The second charge related to a separate online fundraising page set up in days following the toppling of the statue called Bristol Protesters Legal Fund. So she is an industrious grifter. You've got to give her that. At least two attempts. A trial was listed for December, but Salim appeared at Bristol Crown Court last week to change her plea to guilty for the first charge. The second charge was discontinued by the Crown Prosecution Service. It emerged today. I don't know why. I mean, surely if she's guilty of the first one, that's evidence for guilt of the second to a certain extent. Yeah. Salim of Romford, Essex, will return to the same court to be sentenced at the end of October. So we've got that to look forward to.
Yeah. So she really is she was just parachuted in to get some cash. Mm-hmm.
And if, John, you scroll down to the picture of her, I just want to be unnecessarily mean. Oh, no, she's there. So she's wearing like a white shirt with like lingerie over the top, tucked in some blue jeans.
I was thinking when
it's a bold choice.
Yeah, when this image was on screen, I did just think, like, do you trust this person? Mm-hmm. You know?
Certainly not as a fashion advisor, yeah.
No, but, very interesting look.
With compulsory mockery out of the way, let's move on to this. And this is if I can find where the mouse is, it's disappeared. Oh, here we go. This is interest over time on Google Trends for Black Lives Matter. And as you can see, there's a massive flatline after 2020. So come down here, there's, you know, a couple of blips around sort of early January of 2021, a little blip there in April, and then pretty much just flat. It's basically over, at least in the UK. I mean, the peak here, peak Black Lives Matter, if I can see it, it's not letting me. Well done, Google. But I think it's about August time, 2020. Oh, come on. This is unbearable.
It's 100. That's the point.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's 100 of. Is it 100 per 1,000 searches or something?
I think John's going to try and fiddle and get it. This is one of the richest companies in the world here. Can't even produce a good graph.
Shocking.
But yeah, I think it's about August of 2020 is when they peaked. And it is just this massive blip and then vanished. Mm-hmm. So it does seem that the sort of political left's main organization for mobilization has been neutered. It's basically non-existent, which is great because say what you will about Black Lives Matter, but they did effectively mobilize lots of people to do lots of bad things.
And in the same way that subsequently, you know, there's been the Russell Brand story recently, obviously also Ukraine and various other stories that you just could not escape. Yeah, they were literally everywhere, all on the front covers of the newspapers. That was what BLM were for that time. You know, you couldn't
certainly was, yeah.
BLM. Everyone was talking about it. You know, everyone sort of in my circles was talking about it. You literally couldn't escape it. And now it's barely ever mentioned, which is weird. You know,
I know. It's gone out of the Overton window very, very quickly.
Yeah.
One might even say artificially, almost like people realized that this doesn't look good for us. Mm. Let's not talk about this anymore because they're all the organizers are stealing the money and it makes the whole thing look bad.
Yeah. Well, again, ultimately, these groups are just a tool for elite interests because they are just trotted out when it's advantageous for them.
It was hilarious when Black Lives Matter were whinging about Joe Biden not inviting them to the White House. They're just like, hey, we got people to vote for you and now you're not talking to us. And it's like, what did you expect? Mm.
There was also an incident in New York where some BLM leaders were like complaining about vaccine mandates disproportionately affecting people of color in some way. And it got no coverage at all
because
it
wasn't, again,
it wasn't advantageous for the for the people who were actually propping them up. You know, this is
exactly
that kind
that,
of
yeah.
the idea of the high, low, middle mechanism where the elites sort of pick a client group and sort of bring them into the court, prop them up, make them, you know, on the fronts of all the newspapers. And then when they're done with them, when their purpose is served, they disappear, as demonstrated by this graph.
There's a lot of truth to that sort of understanding, particularly in modern politics in particular. So the US as well follows a similar sort of trend. And yes, just a big spike is even. It's actually an even neater spike and it kind of smooths out. And then again, basically inconsequential for the rest of it, which is good. I think we're sort of in the post BLM world, which I feel a lot better for. If I'd been able to say to my sort of 2020 self, who was on the brink of utter rage, at this is civilizational collapse sort of thing, which is topical because that'll be my next segment. I was really concerned because this was just being allowed to happen. And within 3 years of it happening, it's already been put away back in its box, never to emerge again. And to kind of highlight that point, a segment I did, I think a week or two ago, talking about the dumbest racial conflict in London, where a bunch of racial activists, black racial activists, confronted, I think he was Pakistani or Middle Eastern. Lots of speculation about what ethnicity was, but he's a Middle Eastern chap, I suppose, who owned a hair extension shop, and they all got mad because a woman tried to steal from him and he used force to stop her, as you think all rational people would.
Yeah.
And they're just like, this is terrible, this is oppression. And they also blamed the white man somehow because, you know, we always are involved in some way, even though we weren't at all present in this scenario.
It was really amusing, this little incident, because it was just, I don't know, it was the sort of the new Britons, let's say, battling it out as we just stand on and watch.
It's my like, reason,
what's happened to our country?
My reason for bringing this up, though, isn't just to laugh at it, which is also funny, but also that because they didn't have all of the organization of Black Lives Matter, it wasn't really that much of a big protest. There may be 50 people there in all of London, which, you know, is a very large ethnic population. You think it would be the place where they could draw the biggest crowd for this sort of thing. And it might be that some people saw that they're protesting on behalf of the thief, although a lot of their coverage didn't mention that she was stealing, just said the shop owner assaulted a black woman. How dare he do this?
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason for that to happen, even if she's stealing.
Yeah.
They didn't mention that part, but yeah, it goes to show that now this organizational apparatus is gone, they can't nearly draw as big a crowd as they could. Obviously, this is still terrible, but it's also a small minority of people. They did bully the guy, make him take his kids out of school, and he had to go into hiding. So it's not great, but at least it isn't nearly as bad as it was. Things are getting better. And on the topic of criminal organizations that extract money from people, I did a episode of Contemplations about the economics of organized crime, where I break down with my sort of economist's cap on, and looked at how it works, what effect it has on national economies, and the difference between disorganized and organized crime. And hopefully it should be really interesting because I very much enjoyed doing the research for it.
Yeah, well, I think that that's a prescient note to end on, because I do think, I've long thought that BLM and organizations like it, the people who support them always trot out the line of being on the right side of history and, you know, being the good guys and all the rest of it. I sincerely believe that they will be remembered as basically being an organized crime organization, as basically being a grift and something that was deeply destructive, and ultimately, as we said before, only allowed to do what they did because of an elite that saw them as a tool to be used to further their ends and then discarded, as this segment has shown.
I 100% agree. So the final thing I wanted to mention, just because I didn't want to get you leaving here without thinking it's all sunshine and roses, because I wouldn't want to get too optimistic.
Oh, God, no.
No, obviously, don't be too miserable. But this article was published recently, which I think kind of highlights that there was a tangible effect. So this is titled, Corporate America Promised to Hire a Lot More People of Color. It actually did. And before you start saying, well, you know, they can hire who they want, the point is the percentages. So 3 years after Black Lives Matter protests, the S&P 100 added more than 300,000 jobs. 94% went to people of color. So obviously, there was some actual bias sampling against white people here. It's not based on merit. So because, of course, if they were hiring based on merit, there would be a bit more of a fair representation from white people.
Think. Yeah.
Not 6%.
See, the white pill to take from this, though, is that the sort of the universe will punish the people that have done this, because not hiring on merit and purely hiring on stupid things like racial characteristics is going to lead to things collapsing. Because if you don't hire competent people, things start to break down. And so we will reap the rewards of this.
This article has lots of graphics. This goes on and on about Black Lives Matter. Where's the graphic? There's one down here. So yeah, visualizing it makes it seem even scarier. Where's the one where it has? Ah, here we are. So it's interesting to me that specific industries in particular didn't necessarily hire a proportionate amount of people. So a lot of the less qualified positions were occupied by minorities. And there's still the sort of corporate hierarchy of the highest percentage of white people is still the people running the show, along with the Asians as well, which is, you know, what would probably happen were it to be a bit more organic.
Yeah.
But I find it a bit strange that lots of companies have been infiltrated with people who have hired people that won't be qualified. And so what's probably going to happen is all of these rather well-off companies are just going to be less efficient in their production because they've hired people rather than on their ability to do the job as well as possible, passing on the savings to the consumer. They've hired people based on their skin color, because that's apparently good now for some reason.
And when the companies that we're talking about include presumably Google, Netflix, YouTube is Google, other such companies, is that really a bad thing?
Well, yeah, in some ways, they've done something which, in the end, they're going to punish themselves unintentionally for, because they've hired people that are going to make the organization less efficient. Mm. And we'll probably see that actually things will get a lot worse for diversity in the future. But I just wanted to add this caveat, because it is important to acknowledge that the corporate world was certainly changed by Black Lives Matter, even if, you know, politics only briefly had a little blip. But yes, mostly good news.
Mostly good.
If you enjoyed that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, why not visit our website, where you can get our podcast live, in full, uncensored, and for free from 1 o'clock UK time every weekday. And while you're there, for as little as £5 a month, you can access all of our paywalled premium content, such as Josh's eclectic series Contemplations, where in this episode, he discusses the origins of the English language in a two-part series. If you want to know the rest of what Josh is putting out, you can follow Josh on Twitter at @joshfirm and the rest of us over at @lotuseaters_com. Until next time, goodbye.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Race to savings for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.